Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
I'm worried, Ray. It's getting crowded in there, and all my recent data points to something big on the horizon.
What do you mean, the big?
Well, let's say this Twinkie represents the normal amount of psychokinetic energy in the New York area. According to this morning's sample, it would be a Twinkie 35 feet long, weighing approximately 600 pounds.
That's a big Twinkie.
We could be on the verge of a fourfold cross rip, a PKE surge of incredible, even dangerous proportions.
We just had a visit from the Environmental Protection Agency. How's the grid holding up?
It's not good.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
What about the Twinkie?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, true currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week. Here he is, Mike Novak.
In the main, right.
So we all are in agreement here in the studio that we need to see that movie again. It's yeah. Something you got to. And if you miss a reference at the top of the show, it's Ghostbusters. I was going to get the theme. I'm having all kinds of technical issues this week. I was having issues in the production there with things glitching on me. My computer is a disaster. Just a disaster. I got a virus or something on there, and I got pop-ups all over the place. I get this. It's always trying. It's telling me it wants to load in this program all the time, and I keep saying, no, I don't want you to load in. And then it just pops up again and says load in, and so I go online to try to look it up and say, well, what happens if it tells you to pop up a program? So the program it's telling me to is a, what is it, something vid where it helps you save your videos and everything. And I looked up the company, and it's not a bad company or anything. It's fine, but the point is I don't want it. You know, because and apparently some people have the same problem with Adobe. It'll just pop up all the time, and Adobe, and that's aside from the Adobe that pops up regularly if you want it. I mean, I saw this pie chart once about things that happen on your computer activity, and it's like, you know, 3% email and 2% something, like 97% Adobe asking you to renew or to upgrade, you know. And what is with Adobe that they do this every single day, it seems. But at any rate, don't want that to go there. So I go online to look this up, and the answers are less than useful. Mm-hmm. You know how you scour the internet for who's had this situation. So they're either so complex that you'd actually have to unscrew your computer and put it back together again, or they're so stupid that, yeah, I already know that. Doesn't anybody have like a quick fix? And then the others say, you should just get some malware, you know, get the malware on your computer. I know that.
Who is that, by the way, that voice? Who is that said that?
I don't know. I just made this voice up.
I don't think I'd take computer advice from whoever that voice belongs to.
I just made it up for Sunday morning. Before Thanksgiving.
Wait. Hold on.
Get it. You would think by now that the bell would just be there ready. No, that would be a part of your prep.
What, do you think it jumps out of the box by itself?
Got my microphone on, got this, got my bell ready. There we go.
The Sunday before Thanksgiving. and our worst, and I'm so glad, I'm so grateful to Mike Sanders for playing the Stephen Colbert bit about Black Friday. Mm-hmm. If there's anything in America that is more appalling than Black Friday, I don't know what it is.
That it's now moving into Thursday night?
I know, and that's the other thing. It's like, okay, we've taken this thing that proves that pretty much everybody who shops on Black Friday has no soul, okay? You give it, you check it at the door, all right? The devil is there. Actually, the devil mostly appears at Walmart. And at Walmart, the devil's there, and he says, please, you need to check your soul at the door. I'm sorry. You cannot enter Walmart without your soul.
This persona's going to stay all day.
I like it. It's good.
No, that was this persona. That's
a little more lazy.
That was the Sunday persona. But the devil's more like this. The devil says, okay.
Yeah, the devil's smooth.
Yeah, the devil's smooth.
Move over, 80-year-old woman. I'm greeting the customers today.
Hey, listen. We got some good deals in there, okay? Just sign this little contract. Here's your soul. Okay, I'll hold on to it just for, I don't know, a few hours.
Mike, can I tell you what my mom and I do for day after Thanksgiving? We have our own holiday tradition.
Which is?
She and I, we donate blood on Black Friday. So we go together. It's kind of a mother-daughter thing. It's awesome. And then we go and have lunch. Oh,
nice. I am bowing to you. I am bowing to you. See,
this is really cool.
You get a bell.
Yay!
You get a ding. Mm-hmm. See, that's... I tell you what, 773-763-9278, what is a good tradition to have on Black Friday?
It is.
Like giving blood. That's a wonderful. Are they open on Black Friday?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, they're going to have a mobile blood donation at the Rock Bottom Brewery in Orland Park on Black Friday. So you can just look up Heartland Blood Centers. I'll tweet out the... links to the activity, and then they give you a little thank you gift, like a gift certificate to the brewery or whatever promotions they're offering. So it's a win-win. I mean, you feel good, and you're doing something for other people, which I think is the most important part of the holidays, is giving. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be commercial, and it doesn't have to be stuff that you don't need anyway. Mm-hmm. So we're giving life, and it's a really great thing to do. So I encourage everybody to consider it. And there's a lot of need, especially with the holidays. It's one of their highest need areas.
I just got a Facebook post from Mark Ernest.
Yeah.
Sales director here at WCPT. Try AVG Antivirus. It's free download. There is a money version, but I use the free one, and live online, it works. You know what, Mark? I did see that was one of the ones. A friend sent me to a site that had some free malware available, and that was one of the ones. It sounded, the AVG one sounded a little complex, though. It sounded complicated, but because it said, and here it is. I went to CNET, and I know, hey, welcome to Computer
Talk. That's what I was going to say.
With Mike Novak.
I think we got a new show in the works here, bud.
Computer Talk.
Yeah. Who knew?
Oh, man. It was listed on CNET as most popular antivirus software downloads. Avast was number one with 1,205,796, but AVG was second, Mark, with 1,118,186 downloads. The problem is I clicked on that, and the only thing that scared me was, because they always tell you this, okay. It says installation. We found that the program can go from completed download to ready to use in about 5 minutes, like that so far.
Yeah.
AVG's touted its five-screen installation for several years now. While it's true that the, this is a third persona right coming in now. This is Computer Geek. While it's true that the process continues to be short, it's important to call out a few improvements and one glaring snag. Bum, bum. The installer itself now weighs in at 33 megabytes, down from more than the 100 megabytes 2 years ago. The installer also does not require a reboot. This isn't surprising for Windows 8, but even on computers using Windows 7 and older, installing AVG will be reboot-free. Unfortunately, not only do you still have to opt out of AVG's toolbar and safe search if you don't want them, but when you choose only the toolbar, it commandeers your default location bar search in Firefox. This is, and I have Firefox. This is, of course, problematic because the toolbar provides some important security options such as AVG Do Not Track. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say the same thing. What on earth is going on here?
Mark, I might try it. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show. Your computer fixed here.
You were talking about the Thanksgiving, the shopping, the Black Friday, and you were talking about computers, too. That's the thing. Like, you can buy stuff online, like, for the price of gas and dinner and
yeah,
meals.
Yeah, but then they have that, what's that?
Cyber Monday. You have a whole realm of computer voices, I've realized.
Yeah.
I got about four of them.
Cyber Monday. Sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I haven't even had caffeine.
Oh, man.
I've got herbal tea. And this is what's, maybe that's the problem. You know, I can't, it's so weird because Thanksgiving is such a good holiday. It's the, of all the major holidays, it's the best one.
Oh, you seem to love it. That was sarcasm.
No, I do. I love Thanksgiving. It's the best of all the major holidays because it's about sharing, you know, about breaking bread. And then we surround it with all this nastiness, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And we ruin it. We just ruin it.
So Sarah did a shout out to her mom. My mom, I think, is really pretty unique and cool, too, because when my brothers and sisters started getting married, my mom didn't want them to have to do the whole your family's house, my family's house. And so for the last 20 years, we've done Thanksgiving on Sunday. So you don't have to pick which family you're going to.
That's awesome.
Pick which family to diss.
Right. So it's just our family is always on Saturday. And then, you know, they can do in-laws on Thursday.
No. That's great. And then you just need to line up a Friday so you can have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We kind of need
Thanksgiving
that
marathon.
That fast in the middle.
I think
so
that's
that
cool.
You can gear up for a second round of it. And actually, we do brunch and we just play games all day. So it's a nice, relaxing family day. There's not a big meal. We just kind of graze all day and we play cards and Monopoly and board games and go outside if it's nice weather.
But see, that's the thing about Thanksgiving. That's the kind you eat and you play games.
Yeah, it's all family.
You know?
And then we adopt a lot of, I have cousins that come in from Minnesota, or we have stray people who, you know, family might be far away that they
can't. Hey, come on in.
Come to Lisa's.
So it's a good, you know, I would say, well, just my immediate family is 23 people or something. So then, and that's just my siblings and their children and their spouses. So it's pretty big. But then we bring lots of other folks in. It's a great day.
Oh, that's
cool.
Fantastic.
See, now that's, and you know where I'm going to be Thanksgiving Day? I'm going over to Mike Sanders' house.
Yeah, he said that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going over to Mr. Sanders' place so I don't have to, well, I'm going to make pumpkin pies.
Well, you got to bring something. I'm going to go to Sanders and not bring anything. You were just getting ready to say that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
You got to bring something. Come on.
Yep, we're going to have...
I'm gonna bring my dirty shoes and walk on in.
Yeah. No, he was nice enough to invite us, and Kathleen and I are going to go over there and eat some food. And
that'll be great.
Spend the day in Indiana. Kind of like that idea. You know, we blew off the family, said, no families this year. All right. It's like, I'm antisocial. All right. Not really.
No.
Go over and visit Mike's. See, you can choose your friends. And never mind. Today's show, basically the second hour is going to be about fracking. And an important issue in Illinois for several reasons. One is that
Of course, the fracking issue itself, the idea that you pump a bunch of chemicals and water, lots of water, lots of chemicals, intense pressure into the ground to create fissures so that the oil and gas will be released and increase our dependency on fossil fuels. And there's very little regulation. End of story. And in Illinois, in the spring session, the General Assembly came really close to putting a moratorium on until they could investigate this and what kind of chemicals, and then they fell short of this. So Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, who hasn't been on the show in a while, and it's about time he was back, will join us to talk about that. And, of course, that's related to the issue at Starved Rock, where they're trying to create an open pit sand mine next to the entrance. But as you're going to find out on the show today, it's not just the one. Basically, the whole county's opening up the big sand mines. There's going to be nothing but a big old hole in the ground in LaSalle County. They'll put City Hall down at the bottom of a big pit, or the county building, the bottom of a big pit. And that will be the county. It's terrifying because a lot of people are getting notices that these things are being built next to them. And suddenly, and if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, it's like on a homepage. And that, see that big old pile of dirt next to that home that's flying the American flag? Yeah, this is America, baby.
Well, and I'm about to post onto the Facebook page. Josh sent us over a really great article from Minneapolis Star Tribune.
You know what? All those.
I know they're on your web. Yeah. I know you're on their website, but I'll also post it on Facebook. So if folks want to read this article to get better educated, I think a lot of people in Illinois, we kind of know a little bit about it, but not very much. And this article really defines, you know, some of the downside, because they specifically talks about a couple towns that thought this would be a great thing because it was bringing jobs into their community. What they didn't realize was it was going to be thousands of trucks 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And it was going to be so much sand in the air that they would not be able to keep their windows open on a nice sunny day. And all of the downside. And these communities are saying, hey, wait, this was not what we thought we signed up for. We thought it was jobs, jobs, jobs. And in reality, it has completely upended their lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. The bucolic lifestyle goes out the window. Okay. That's the Faustian bargain. Hey, you know what? There's a little devil who comes to those county board meetings too and says, "Hey, I got six jobs here. Six.
Money.
Well, actually, the money's going to go out of state, but how'd you like to leave your soul at the door here and get a sand mine?"
Well, and those guys, and they leave town, and they leave behind them roads that are destroyed because they weren't built for that kind of heavy traffic.
Yep. And you read the stories of the people who can, in their homes, you know, wiping their finger across the windowsill and removing a layer of silica dust, and guess what that's doing to your lungs?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be LaSalle County, and the one in particular, Utica. Now, this is happening north of the river as well. And what is it for? And that's the other thing. You see, it's all connected. What's it for? It goes into the fracking, which is then going to destroy our waters, the quality of our water. So we can get the air and the water destroyed all in one fell swoop. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that fun?
All for the price of gas.
All for the price of gas. Exactly.
Something we should be getting off of. You know, here I am. It's Sunday morning. I'm going to get on my, you know.
That's why you're on this show.
I'm going to get fired up. But, you know, I mean, China has better CAFE standards for their cars. They have better mileage regulations for their cars than we do, and we are
destroying. Oh, don't worry. By 2025, we'll catch up with the Europeans, because Obama, you know, and that's a shame, because Obama did a good thing, President Obama, by increasing the fuel standards for our automobiles. But by 2025, we'll catch up to the Europeans and maybe the Chinese. It's just sad that he has to work that hard to get
those catch up.
Just to catch up in 15 years. What? We're just pathetic.
We're just pathetic here. So anyway, second hour, we'll talk about that with Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, Phil and Diane Gassman from Utica, Illinois. One of the families being affected by this is going to be on the show also and talk to us about that. Just got a Facebook post from Laurel Nilsson. Says, don't forget Small Shop Saturday. Shop local small businesses for goods and services instead of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Good for you. Yes. Go local. Small shop. Really, just stay out of the box store. Stay out of the Walmart. Stay out of the those nasty, nasty places. Dear me. Dear God. What's wrong? So the other thing I want to call to your attention in regard to, yeah, before we get off of that, in regard to the whole fracking thing and Starved Rock is something that I want to thank Cindy Skruckrud for posting on my website, on my Facebook page. Nearly 3,500 people have acted on this alert from the Illinois chapter of Sierra Club. Today is the last day that you can comment. The 18th, today. And there's a petition that you need to sign. Do you like Starved Rock? Well, drop what you're doing right now. Go online. Go to my website. You got to scroll down. Both on my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show. On the Facebook page, there's a link to, you got to scroll down a few posts because everybody's posting right now. Protect Starved Rock State Park from mine discharge. I'll tell you more about it in the second hour, but you need to sign it today. It needs to be done today. It would require Mississippi Sand LLC, which is the people who want to dig the big hole, to obtain an individual permit, NPDES permit, rather than a general one. It means they gotta explain where all the stuff they're dumping is going. The stuff that goes into the water. 5.1 million gallons per day of discharge is equivalent to the volume of discharge that placing a town of 50,000 people next to the park would generate. And this is what is going to happen. The draft permit that they have would allow the mine to discharge up to 5.1 million gallons per day of stormwater and sand mine pit pumpage into the Horseshoe Creek tributary on the mine site. Sign it. Do it. Now. Drop what you're doing. Turn off the eggs boiling on the stove. Grab your coffee. Sit at your computer. Sign on. 3,500 people have signed on already in the state of Illinois. Let's make it 4,500 by the end of the show. Okay. When we come back, I got this interesting email about GMO foods and how you could celebrate Thanksgiving. Non-GMO way. I think it's kind of interesting, and we will definitely get into that. It's the most wonderful time of the year, says the song. Unless you're panicking about holiday gifts. And here's one that you can get without having to take part in Black Friday. Your old Uncle Mike is here to tell you that getting something for your gardening friends or yourself is as simple as subscribing to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Just look at the November-December issue. It tells you how to properly care for a Schlumbergera. You say, you've never grown a Schlumbergera? Have you grown a slum? You have to turn on your mic. Don't forget.
I have no idea what a Schlumbergera is.
See, yes, you do. Do you know what a Schlumbergera is, Lisa?
Of course not.
Tell us.
Christmas cactus.
Oh.
See?
Oh, I love that.
I know, and everybody grows a Christmas cactus.
Schlumbergera.
Close enough. It's also known as a Thanksgiving cactus or an Easter cactus. See? You've learned something already. There's also a story about weeping trees in the November-December issue, like Weeping Katsura, Weeping Cherry, and my all-time favorite horticultural name, Camicypress Newt Catensis Pendula.
That's a good one.
No, I didn't make that up. That's real. And the article tells you how to choose them wisely, where to cite them, and most importantly, how to prune weeping trees. Then there's my column on the inside back page. People simply weep when they read it. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. This Christmas, get a subscription for a friend. This is literally the gift that gives all year long. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. Now, I am so happy to say that some of my gardening friends have jumped back on board for a little holiday advertising here. You know, capitalism can be good in certain limited ways, especially if it's on my show. It's what we call liberal capitalism here. Green capitalism on the Mike Novak Show. And one of those people are our good friends at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. You want a fresh Fraser fir tree this Christmas? Get over to Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian village. They've hooked up. This is true. They've hooked up with the same grower that supplies trees to the White House. You won't find a fresher tree unless you cut it yourself. Now, here's the best part. Mention the Mike Novak Show and get free delivery and free pickup after the season. Those of you in Chicago, go over to Christy Weber. You just mentioned the Mike Novak Show. They will deliver your tree for free. They will pick it up for free and after the season, and they will mulch it.
That's fantastic.
So, they're going to recycle it. Not only that, but Christy Weber has ready-to-go drop-in holiday containers. Just take them home, plop them into an urn or your own container, and you're done. And while the weather is still warm, grab some brilliant contractor-grade LED bulb strands, light spheres, and twig lights in all different sizes and colors. They even have the LEDs that glow like incandescents. And this Saturday, November 24th, mark your calendar, next Saturday, it's Winterfest with family events from noon to 3 p.m., including a sleigh tractor ride with Santa. Santa herself. I'll let you figure that one out. Snowball fights, arts and crafts, and more, followed by a holiday happy hour. This is it goes from the kids to the adults. The Adults Holiday Happy Hour, 4 to 6 p.m. with food and wine from Westtown Tavern. Join the fun next Saturday and every day at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. Look for the explosion of Christmas color.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We got a tweet here from a Snappy J Dog who says, hey, can you tweet the link to the Starved Rock petition? And Sarah, you're handling that right now.
I'm on it.
Okay, good.
www.starvedrockstatepark.org.
Wait, but is that the petition? No, that's to Starved Rock, isn't it?
Taking a look here.
No. See, yeah, you want to go to the one. Go to my Facebook page where it says the scroll down from Cindy Scruckrude. And she's got the Illinois chapter, Sierra Club, Protect Starved Rock State.
Oh, Sierra Club. Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So Sierra Club's got it up there. But, yeah, make sure you get that tweeted out there. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you're wondering what you can do for your trees as we head into winter, we'll keep it simple. Mulch. Mulching is always one of the best things you can do for your trees. It's easy and inexpensive and doesn't require special tools. Mulching moderates soil temperature and conserves moisture in the soil at a time when you're less likely to water your trees. And as it breaks down over winter, it increases the amount of organic material and microbial activity around the roots that feed the tree. The most commonly used mulching material is wood chips. I don't want you to think that you know, putting that white rock is mulching, please. Not around your trees. I know people like they like it. Please don't do that. Spread the wood chips around the base of the tree to at least 3 feet from the trunk or all the way out to the width of the widest branches if you can. You don't want to pile it up against the trunk. That's volcano mulch. Don't do that. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See the careoftrees.com or visit them on Facebook or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Unchain my heart, baby, let me be. 'Cause you don't care, well, please, set me free.
Denny on the air piano and Mike on the air bass. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Glad to have you with us on a Sunday morning before Thanksgiving. All right, very quickly, and we're getting that link up there. And by the way, you can find the link. I know we want to get it on Twitter. Have you got that up there yet? Sarah, you're working on it, huh?
I am. Slow going this morning.
What's happening over there?
I don't know.
And of course, Sarah Batka and Lisa Albrecht here in the studio with me. And I'm glad to have you on Twitter. My handle is Mike Now. You can go to Facebook, either the Mike Novak Show or Mike Novak, either one. It's fine. A lot of people tend to go to Mike Novak. I got to fill that up so I can say, oh, I don't have any more room on there. Is that, it's just another voice, another incarnation there.
Digging it.
And I was telling you, I got this. All right. First of all, I got this from a friend this morning. Forward. Somebody's written this and it's hilarious. It all makes sense now. Gay marriage and marijuana being legalized on the same day. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lays with another man, he should be stoned. We were just interpreting it wrong. I like that.
That's clever.
That's very good. You gotta like that. And I got a challenge. Oh boy, from somebody, Nancy, who wrote to me. Hey, Mike, love your show. Listen every week. I hope she's listening right now. Also, read your column in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Very entertaining. Thank you. My question is, in your opinion, who makes the very best loppers? Of course, a very important Christmas gift hinges on your answer.
Oh, man, that's pressure.
Is that a pun on hinge?
I think so. Thanks a bunch, and I promise to keep on listening to your great show. Well, that's, you know, a lot of pressure there when you start endorsing products. Because there's a... you know, there's a lot out there. What, do you have a particular favorite, Sarah?
At the Museum of Science and Industry at the Smart Home Garden, we have, gotten generous donations from Fiskars, and we've used their hand tools over there. So those have been very, very successful.
I gotta tell you, I tend to like the Fiskars products. I use them a lot. Of course, Felco. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say that's the gold standard.
Yep, I got a pair of Felco at home.
But do you have loppers or pruners?
Pruners, hand pruners.
Yeah, see, the hand pruner is the one that people really go for. But they also have loppers. I'll tell you what, I mean, this sounds like the perfect thing for our tweeting audience to just shoot us. What are they like? Because a lot of people want to... I have their favorites, rather. And my favorite is usually the one that somebody gives me for free.
Right. My favorite are the ones that are not rusty.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite are the ones that I haven't nicked to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about loppers. You usually bite off more than you can chew, you know. You gotta. There's only so far you can take them, and then you're supposed to go to a pruning saw. But you know us. I can get this branch. I'll just... yeah. Got it. All right. Yeah. Send us a tweet at Mike Now, or post something on Facebook, or even give us a call. And tell us what lopper you like best, because I need to get Nancy's answer. Now, like I said, you know, the Felco and Fiskars are probably among the top of the line. I got this email from somebody. What are you doing over there?
I'm still looking for the petition link. It looks like...
It's there.
The one I had found is not active, so I'm calling backup.
There's...
Go back to Mike's page.
Yeah. Okay, while you guys do that, this is an easy one, Sarah. Some common Thanksgiving foods that may contain GMOs and GMO and organic alternatives. I got this list from GMOinside.org. For instance, soups. If you're going for your traditional Campbell's, you're probably getting your GMOs. But organic soups like Amy's, Pacific, and other brands will get you on the right road. Cooking oils, and this seems to make sense, including corn and canola in particular. Yeah, that's what. Did you find the link there?
Yeah, I had to call in backup from Lisa.
We're copying it from Facebook.
Whatever. That was the point. Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Okay. All right. Get that on Twitter. Cooking oils. Example, Wesson canola oil. Yeah, GMO. If you want non-GMO organic cooking oil, Nutiva, Dr. Bronner, Whole Foods Organic, many other brands available. Canned yams. Unfortunately, Bruce's yams, probably GMOs. You might want to try fresh organic yams to do that. I don't know why you wouldn't. I suppose some people need their canned yams, huh? I yam what I yam.
Oh, there's another voice. It just pops up there. Oh, olive oil, hand me the yams.
The Thanksgiving goofy Mike Novak voice special on WCPT. Love it.
Chocolate. They were talking about chocolate this morning on Our Town with Mike Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
About the value of chocolate, but not Hershey milk chocolate, probably GMO. Again, you probably want to go to organic, Equal Exchange, Theo, many other brands, and they're fair trade as well. Dressing, the standard Kraft, that sort of thing, probably GMO. Gosh, you might want to try organic. Annie's, many brands are available. Or make your own using organic oils, vinegar, mustard, mayonnaise, etc. But then you got to get the organic mayonnaise.
FML.
I know. But, you know, the GMOs are everywhere. Rice mixes, the standard rice-a-roni, chicken-flavored, probably GMO. You can go to organic rice, Lundberg, many other brands. If you're in a rush, use organic couscous. Can you imagine? Or quinoa. Love quinoa.
Who doesn't?
Just don't ask me to spell it.
How do you spell quinoa?
There's a Q.
Q-U-I-N-O-A. Thank you very much.
You do get a bell for that.
Cranberry sauces, ocean spray. Oh, dear. You want to, that's probably GMO laden. Buy organic cranberries and use organic and fair trade sugar, e.g. wholesome sweeteners to sweeten, or purchase organic jellied cranberry, Tree of Life, Grown Right, and other brands if you're in a hurry. And, of course, stuffing, Kraft's stovetop stuffing and cornbread, GMO. Make your own stuffing with organic bread or purchase organic stuffing mix. Arrowhead Mills and other brands available. So there's some holiday tips. And I had a Ron Calgill tweets from Mighty House about the loppers. We prefer Cindy loppers.
Get them.
That sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Morning, Ron.
Morning.
Hey, and can I just shout out to your fabulous Facebook fans, because they are spreading the news about the Starved Rock, and they are reposting and reposting and reposting from your website. So thank you, everybody.
Fantastic.
Annie Haven,
and Annie Haven listening in California says it's so sad that we have to search for non-GMO foods. Yeah, and you know, the labeling effort just got killed in California because millions were pumped into, you know, defeating it. Also, I got a tweet here from a friend who says, I like my Corona loppers. They are strong and have, yeah, Corona's another great brand, have cushioned fiberglass handles. Mine cost $50 a few years ago. And that's the other thing. You know, loppers, you want a quality pair of loppers, you know, you're not going to get them for $10. You have to find. That's a great tool, though. It's a great tool to have. There's nothing like the holiday season at holiday locations like The Growing Place, another great sponsor in Naperville and Aurora. Check out their great selections. 8 types of garland, 15 types of green, glitter, bleached and natural branches, birch logs and branches, 12 types of preserved eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, unique and fun accents, wreaths, swags, and containers are created by their design team and ready to meet your decorating needs. If you don't see what you need, you can place an order or come to a workshop at The Growing Place and make your own. The greens and fresh Fraser fir trees in sizes from 2 feet to 10 feet have arrived. Or pick up the scented soy candle exclusive to The Growing Place and a customer favorite. And instead of Black Friday, here's another alternative. Yay. Why not experience Green Friday or Saturday at their open house, which is this Friday and Saturday, November 23rd and 24th. Yeah, you know, instead of going to Black Friday, go to The Growing Place and go to their open house. It's a beautiful place to be. There will be special sales and treats, and of course, their wonderful settings that will put you in the holiday spirit. The Growing Place in Naperville on Plank Road, just west of Naper Boulevard and south of the I-88 Naperville exit, and in Aurora on Montgomery Road, just north of Copley Hospital. Explore each beautiful room in Aurora's gift shop, and that's because it's sited in an 1850s farmhouse. You're going to love it.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are 2 quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
And then your announcer says you can depend on Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines for everything that grows and everything that goes with the holiday season. I love the fact that represented on the show today, we've got folks from different places in the area, including the Northwest, the West, and then the Central City, all different wonderful garden centers where you can go and get your holiday shopping done, like Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center. Would you like to create your own winter containers? Well, stop by Lurvy's in November and December to create beautiful winter containers for yourself or as a gift. $39 pays for everything you need to impress your friends and neighbors. Best of all, you create it there, and Lurvy's will clean up the mess. You gotta love that. Upcoming dates are this Tuesday, November 20th at 1 p.m. and Saturday, November 24th at 10 a.m. with more to follow. I'll tell you about them next week. And have you joined the Lurvy Garden Club yet? When you sign up for the Lurvy Garden Club, you benefit from exclusive sales and promotions, members-only e-news, a seasonal solutions newsletter, and more. I've got mine, my Garden Club card. Use it when you pick up your fabulous trees, wreaths, and holiday plants at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294. Go to Lurvy's.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Lurvy Landscape and Garden Center, Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, wishing you and yours a very green Christmas. Rick DeMaio weather in 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the Greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best.
I got two of them right here in the studio.
So. That's awesome.
Rocking out.
Thanks, Mike.
That's it. Lisa Albrecht and Sarah Batcher are here with me on the Mike Novak Show. I got a tweet. I'm not a proponent of GMO, but I kind of got to say that I'm a bit unsure if GMO is as widespread as you say. I would, you know what? I would say the opposite. I would say I think it's farther than we suspect. I think it's in everything.
And you I'm know? Looking, somebody posted on Facebook earlier in the week kind of a comparison showing companies that are pro and companies that are, I guess, companies that are GMOs and companies that are not GMOs. And I'm really surprised some of the folks that are on. Cliff is on the good side, but there were some folks, some brands that I was really, really surprised that were on the GMO side. So sure. I'm going to find that and repost it, but the internet is very slow today.
Okay.
Well. It is. Mine too.
All right. And let's go to Mr. DeMaio. Always a pleasure to have you on, Rick DeMaio weather. Do we have any named storms this week, Rick?
as long as we don't, you know, come up with a snowstorm named Karl Rove, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Although I think he's still debating the Ohio count at this last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it great just to see him just stew? I'd love
Squirm.
It. I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, actually.
Oh, God, it's great. Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting because we all here left to center thought our world was going to collapse, and it really would have, had the other side won. But I kind of look at the people on the right, and I say, they're kind of feeling the same way. A lot of them are really unhappy. And
yeah.
I like the way you say, yeah.
It's okay to be disappointed, but to be actually unhappy while you're doing a newscast, I've never seen that before.
Oh, you're talking about that. I'm talking about just people in general. You know, you know, folks are, there's a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth on that side.
Rick, did you see the forecaster from Texas who gave directions to Canada? Did you see that? It was great. He said for all those people who swore up and down if they went towards Obama, they'd move to Canada. So he actually gave the traffic and the total directions from Texas straight north.
All you have to do is make a left and go to, you know, New Mexico or Colorado.
Well, and he said, you know, take 75 north, and he just had that was pretty classic. Funny. It was really great.
I got to see that, yeah. Are there GMOs up in Canada? All
right. Well, and he did point out that they have national health care and gun laws, so right. they might not be that happy there either.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of my favorite 30 Rock episodes is when Alec Baldwin and his wife, and she's giving birth to their girl in Canada, and they're like, no, not now, because we want her to become president of the United States one day. and then the doctor comes in and says, well, that should be it. Everything's paid for. They're like, what? No, Ed, you don't understand. We have socialized health care in this country. He's like, no, we're going to a different hospital where someone will take out credit card. And I just absolutely loved it. And the great thing about it is, you know, Alec Baldwin is, you know, portrayed as, you know, a very, very right-wing conservative person on that show, but yet he's anything but that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, you got to love that.
Yeah, it's totally great. But, you know, Mike, I don't know about you, but you look outside, you go, this doesn't look like November, does it?
No. You know what? I'm actually kind of, are we doing a bookending the year now where we had that March craziness and now we've got the November craziness?
I was telling this to my students the other day. I said, you know, when you look outside and you see the fact that there has been absolutely nothing in a way of any significant severe weather events across the country. There's only been one real, you know, large area of low pressure that generated a lot of rain, and that mainly hit, you know, the northern plains last week. This fall has been, other than a couple of little storms and, you know, obviously what Superstorm Sandy, has been by and large very, very quiet from about September all the way now through the second week of November. And the thing about it is it only gets better. I mean, we're talking about temperatures close to 60 degrees here. Later on today, a little bit of a cool off tomorrow, Tuesday, and close to 60 on Thursday for Thanksgiving. And it's always difficult to do Thanksgiving Day climate because, you know, the days, you know, vary quite a bit. But just if you just keep it as a quote holiday, this could be the warmest since back in 1988. When we obviously had a very hot summer, but we also had a very cool, you know, September that year. Don't fool yourself that it just keeps, you know, staying warm. But the long-term pattern really for the next week and a half, you know, bode well to things being above average, but also, Mike, hate to say it, but below normal precipitation. And this is the time of the year when you want the rain. You really do.
Yeah, you know, I had somebody write to me just yesterday and say, hey, would it be overkill to be watering my bulbs? And I said, no, the ground is still warm, and we haven't had a lot of moisture.
Right. And I think you had said it last week, you know, hey, look, I can still plant. And the fact that you can still put bulbs in the ground, the weather's nice, but B, the ground is, you know, not frozen, not compacted. You know, it's still very doable. And, you know, it's going to be this way from what I can see probably into at least next week. The thing that I'm kind of like looking forward to is walking around and looking at some of the Christmas trees and asking some of the farmers, you know, how is their crop? How is their harvest? And I would tell people wait as long as you can to bring your Christmas tree that you buy this year inside, because I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these trees went through a lot of stressed summer drought.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the spring season, we had such dry weather. And, you know, you buy it now, it looks great, and within 2 weeks, it's done. And that can happen very, very, you know, very quickly. Now, there's probably people listening on the radio who are trying to sell their trees, and they'll eventually sell them. But, you know, my word of advice to your listeners is to maybe put off buying it a little bit early. Maybe another week or so. Give it a chance to, you know, still maintain that freshness from being outside. And I just kind of had that in the back of my mind, thinking that this, you know, warm spring, warm summer, warm fall is going to probably accelerate the drying of the Christmas trees this year, Mike.
I can't agree more with you, Rick. I'm going to do a tip from the Carrot Trees in the second hour. It's talking about spring and what's going to happen in the spring after this very, right. very difficult summer and a difficult right. summer last yeah. year. And people are going to start to see it. And that's a really good tip about the Christmas trees is that they went through this drought, too, if they got cut God. This year. Yeah. Yes, Sarah?
And the same that Mary McClellan said maybe 2 weeks ago from Glacier Oaks Nursery that was selling the live Christmas trees.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she said. She said, wait to bring it in, keep it in the garage for a few days to reduce the shock.
So you're saying we're in a pattern. It's mild. When does it change? Does it change?
You know what? Even though we may get into somewhat cooler weather here by the end of the Thanksgiving weekend, overall, the next literally 2 to 3 weeks generally tend to look above normal. And the only reason why we were so cold, not so cold, but generally below average for that period of, October and early November, was not so much the air coming in off the Pacific Ocean or the Western Hemisphere. It was more so due to the Greenland block. And that was also relating to, an active hurricane tropical storm season where it just kind of flipped the jet stream down. Obviously, that pushed Sandy inland as well. So this cool weather, when you get these early cool fall outbreaks, they're never really a good sign of what's going to happen for the winter. You always have to wait till you get past that second or third week in November. And from what I can see, it for people who don't like cold weather, you're not going to get any for a while. But at the same time, Mike, it's the dryness that really is going to be a problem over the next couple of weeks.
It's a little discouraging, too, because considering how warm last winter was, if we have another one like this, wow.
Yeah, I always think about how it affects the following growing season.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in the short term here, and then we got a minute left here, beautiful today, a little bit of cloudiness tomorrow and Tuesday. If anybody's doing any traveling within 1,000 miles of Chicago driving-wise, Wednesday looks fantastic. Maybe on the way back Saturday and Sunday we may get a little bit of weather, but still, Mike, the next 2 weeks, tree early, keep it outside, keep it hydrated, keep mm-hmm. it wet, spray it with some water. But you may want to wait until you bring it inside because I got a feeling that a lot of these trees are going to be a little bit on the dry side. And always check to see whether or not the tree that you purchased was painted. They love to spray that green paint on to make it look really good, and you may not notice it until you bring it inside.
That's a dirty trick.
But it's done. It's done.
All right.
Hey, we put makeup on our faces on TV so they can put spray on the tree, right?
All right. Rick DeMaio, weather. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Yes, and happy Thanksgiving.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And this is for Sarah Batka. It's a shout out to Sarah Batka.
Thank you so much. There was a special request.
A special request for stones. There will be more.
Awesome.
In the future. We will.
All right.
We'll do the good stones, not the bad stones. It's funny. It's one of those groups. Some of their music I just think is great. And some of it I think, it's okay. Welcome back to the second hour. A couple of things before we get to Josh Mogerman. People have been apparently calling Denny. You've had some folks trying to find.
Yep.
Okay. Here's the deal. Those of you looking for the link for Starved Rock, the Starved Rock petition, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. Scroll down to the point. Let's see here. It's I did put it up there. There it is. It's not that far down, actually. It says there's right in the middle, like the top third, it says, act now. Tell Illinois EPA a general permit is not good enough for our premier state park. Click on that link. I'm clicking on it right now and make sure that it's
active.
Yeah,
I just double checked it. I think if they're clicking on the earlier links for Starved Rock and some of the other links that are up there, those will take you to the Starved Rock website.
Right.
But
so
you need to go to Act Now.
Yeah, go to the Act Now where it says Act Now. Yeah, okay, here's the deal. If those of you not familiar with blogging, I treat my this week's show like a blog. And I try to put as many links as I can and identify. You know, so if I put the word Starved Rock State Park, I put a link to the park because you might want to see information about the park. If you go to some of the other links, you'll find some of the stories that have been written about this issue, like where Minnesota is highlighted there. There's a story that Josh Mogerman sent me about fracking in Minnesota, which is a big deal, as it is in Iowa. But you need to go down to where the text is indented, Act Now. Now, I suppose the other thing you could just do, and I love you to go to my website. Well, you could go to Sierra Club, too. Were you having trouble finding it on the Sierra Club site, Sarah?
I was, but I'm good now.
So I'd say go to that point on my website, this week's show, where it says Act Now. And it's highlighted. It says, Act Now, tell Illinois EPA a general permit is not good enough for our premier state park. And sign that petition. It has to be signed by the end of today. We need to send a message to the Illinois EPA that there's got to be due process in this regard. That's a good reason to bring in Josh Mogerman from the NRDC. Josh, how are you?
I am dandy. Thanks for having me on this morning.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Sorry you couldn't be in here in person. I know you're doing daddy duties today.
I am. I'm using the TV as a babysitter right now. But
do you know
true American style,
Josh? Do you know how dangerous that is?
It's the Disney Channel too. I'm really working.
Oh, that's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the devil comes out on the Disney Channel too.
Well, that's the sacrifice I'm making to talk to you in your life.
Here's what you're going to have to do when you get back to your child. You're going to have. Is it a girl or a boy?
It's a boy.
A boy. Okay. You're going to have to get his soul back. Okay, from the Disney Channel. All right. You may have to negotiate with the devil a little bit. All right. Just telling you.
Well, it's time for our annual visit to Starved Rock State Park, and I figure that balances out pretty well, right?
It does. No, it's not annual, though. It seems to me I'm doing this almost every week now. It's because this has become a big issue, and I'm not sure that enough attention is being paid to this. I know I have on my show, and I'm sorry for the folks who think that I've talked too much about this, but this is a big deal because it, as you write on your blogs, and as I've written on mine, there are actually two issues here. One is the sand mine issue, which produces sand that is going to be used in the second issue, which is fracking in the state of Illinois. Let's start with the fracking issue, actually, because you write and your colleagues have written about how in Illinois, we really are not protected from that. There are no safeguards. I've talked about it on the show that the General Assembly last spring had an opportunity to do a moratorium. It did not happen in the General Assembly. And now, what are we facing, Josh?
Well, there's a lot of action going on in the southern and eastern portions of Illinois where there are a number of counties where the landmen, the guys who work for drilling companies, have gone up and bought up a lot of leases, and we're potentially poised for the same sort of land rush that we've seen going on in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania taking place here in Illinois. About two-thirds of the state actually sits on the New Albany Shale, which may or may not be a really great natural gas and oil play for the energy companies. And
can I stop you there? Not know that? Have they not done? Do they not know until they actually start fracking?
Yeah, they need to do test wells to get a sense of things. And it's a fairly large basin that covers a big chunk of Illinois and Indiana. And there may be very
very big differences in various parts of that. And so they'll set up test wells to get a sense of what they can access via in terms of natural gas or oil. And you know, they don't know until they go in there. And we really need for the state to have some common sense regulations that are focused on this very unique form of drilling in place before we start having a lot of this going on.
Yeah, because as many of my listeners know, and if you don't know, where fracking has been done, it seems to be connected to contamination of water supplies. Exactly what the connection is, nobody really seems to know, which is why we need to have that moratorium in the state of Illinois. We could be one state where we put the brakes on it and say, wait a second, let's make sure if we're doing this, and it sounds like we need to do it because the president says we have to find this gas. I mean, that's a very frustrating situation for me as well. And Lisa, I'm sure you agree because, you know, you work for the solar industry.
Absolutely. Well, I think the cheaper that we get energy, the worse it is for the planet. I mean, we are going after stuff that is so dirty and so contaminated that the insurance industry won't touch it. So if the insurance companies don't want to touch this stuff, why are we going after it? I don't get it.
Yeah. Part of our problem, Josh, is that we don't even know what the chemicals are that they're slamming into the earth, do we?
Yeah, and now you're getting to really the heart of the issue with fracking is that this is an industry that has demanded a bunch of legal loopholes that other industries don't get. They there are limits in terms of the challenges that people can make in terms of the drilling that goes on around their communities in many of the states where fracking is going on right now. And there is that issue of transparency. The way fracking works is that there is horizontal drilling that goes into place and water with the sand that we've been talking about and chemicals are pushed in at very, very high pressure. And that is where the word fracturing, that fracking comes from, comes in. That water goes in at high pressure. It breaks up the shale to release oil and gas that are trapped, which then comes to the surface. But that may potentially also be an opportunity for those chemicals, some of which have been shown to be pretty nasty stuff, to get out of these fracked well areas if they don't have the appropriate concrete jobs and caps and all of the safety things that are essential for a good and a safe drilling job. You know, none of those rules are in place here. And in other states where there's a lot of fracking going on, they're pretty loose rules. So the state of the General Assembly in Illinois has an opportunity to put in very, very strong safeguards that can ensure we don't have some of those problems going on here in the state of Illinois. And if we're not willing to put in those sorts of safeguards or we can't figure out what they are, then indeed a moratorium may be the thing that makes the most sense until we can figure it out.
So what you're saying, Josh, is Illinois has the potential to be the poster child for good governing in terms of fracking. Perhaps they can set the standards for the rest of the country.
Who'd have guessed it, huh?
Yeah, not me. And I see, I can't stress too strongly that there's these products like chemicals like benzene, toluene, ethyl benzene, xylene.
Diesel fuel.
And they're used at high pressure along with the fracking sand and copious amounts of water to push into the earth to fracture the rock and release the gas and oil. The fact that we haven't come up with any guidelines for that is just, why is that? Is it because it's such a new technology?
Well, if you listen to the industry, they'll say, there's nothing new about this. Why are people making a big deal about it? We've been fracking for 60 years. But the fact of the matter is, it is a new combination. This idea of vertical wells, where they drill down and then they make a really hard turn and are able to send the drilling along, you know, thousands of feet parallel, and then push in the fracking chemicals and sand to release things in the shale. That is a relatively new combination. We haven't been doing that for nearly as long, and we don't really know everything that's going on down there. You know, the industry talking point is that there's never been a water resource that's been proven to be contaminated by a fracking job, and that's because they use this very legalistic kind of a definition where the only thing that matters in that definition is the moment where they're pumping in that sand and water and chemicals. It doesn't take into account the drilling process, the cleaning up of all those toxic elements afterwards. And so, you know, that's the talking point you'll hear all the time. But if you look around, you'll see that there have been numerous issues in many, many states, almost every state where this stuff takes part. There have been concerns of water resources that have been contaminated, not to mention, you know, other things that go along with the drilling process, like, you know, exploding wellheads.
Oh, well, that's just a minor thing, the exploding bullheads. But if you want to be really terrified by this, see the documentary Gasland. You won't sleep for a week after watching that. And then you'll begin to wonder about your own water. And that's the other thing, is that it seems the industry will tell you, well, it's really not connected. We don't know why that water's gotten contaminated, and we don't know why people can set their tap water on fire. It's not really connected to what we're doing.
And one of the things that I have this week, Al Gore's organization, Climate Reality, hosted something called 24 Hours. And they have a really great graphic. If you go to the Google Climate Reality and look at the last hour, and they show the fact that, you know, the world's breadbasket is right here. We've just seen the effects of having a drought. What if on top of that, because fracking will use millions of gallons of water that will be destroyed forever. So we're going to take that out, and then we're going to potentially risk what's left in the ground. And then we're supposed to grow crops from that so that we can feed mankind. What disaster are we headed towards? I mean, this is just one domino after another of bad idea, chasing bad idea, all for the fruit of cheap gas in our cars. It makes no sense to me to risk the food of the next generation and the water of the next generation, or frankly, not even the next generation. It could happen next week.
Well, it's not just for cheap gas in our cars. It's for cheap gas in our heating our homes as well.
Everything. Right.
Electricity, you know, there's a significant amount of shift away from coal towards natural gas into our energy sector. And it is, you know, a cleaner option than that. But that doesn't mean that we can forgive or ignore the other issues that are associated with extraction of natural gas as it stands right now. We're not, you know, NRDC is not against natural gas. What we have trouble with is an industry that's allowed to play differently than everyone else and has loopholes that allow them to ignore things like the Drinking Water Act and things along those lines.
Absolutely,
the Clean Air Act too. And these are things that we need to, we can't avoid dealing with those issues. That has to be addressed. And, you know, like we were saying, in Illinois, we have an opportunity to look at these issues and put tough regulations in place that will ensure that we're not threatening the agricultural economy downstate, and that we are not creating a big mess in terms of methane emissions. And, you know, even more importantly, people have the opportunity to know what's going into the ground near them and have a say when There are permits going into places that they shouldn't be going into. People need to have legal rights, and that's something that that very much needs to be a part of the mix as the state legislature thinks about regulations for fracking in this state.
That's Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Notice I'm not calling you the National Resources Defense Council. I had one of my listeners really get on my case for that because I made that mistake a couple of times. Before we're going to get to what you would like to see the Illinois General Assembly do, Josh, there's a list of things that the NRDC is urging the General Assembly to pay to. Oh, we lost our call. I was just about to go to the call. Okay. Well, then we will go to that list. And it's written in a blog by Nick Magriso with NRDC. Citizens' right to take part in the process of permitting wells and appealing permits. Adequate disclosure of toxic chemicals companies plan to pump underground. Testing and monitoring, excuse me, for contamination before and after fracking. Prohibition on the use of unnecessary toxic chemicals. Tough standards for waste storage and disposal. And an end in Illinois to the loophole in federal law exempting drilling and fracking waste from being treated as hazardous. And measures to limit air pollution from both the fracking operations and the heavy truck traffic that accompanies it. Now, I assume that you guys have feelers out in the General Assembly. Any chance that any of this is going to happen?
There's a lot of discussion going on right now in Springfield, both among legislators and the agencies that are going to be doing, they're going to be overseeing a regulatory process. There have been some discussions with community groups, with environmental groups like us, with industry. And so I think there is going to be movement on this. Everyone recognizes that the situation downstate right now is not ideal, that there is a potential run on drilling and that the conventional drilling regulations we have in place just don't cut it. So I think we will see something soon, whether it's something that we can be proud of, that we really do feel leads the nation and can be an example for other states or not, is something that remains to be seen. We really feel like there's really no reason for anyone to object to that list that you just read, and putting in regulations that address those issues that are, you know, democratic and protect the rights of citizens to protect their property and to know what's going on around them. It's common sense. And if we can't do that, then we shouldn't start until we can figure out a way to get those things done.
But, you know, the companies will fight it tooth and nail because they don't want us to know the chemicals they're putting down there. And we need the transparency. And this is that kind of transparency. I don't know. You have more experience at this than I do. It doesn't seem like it's the norm in industry, having that kind of transparency. What makes you think that we'll get it now?
Well, it's certainly not the norm in this industry that enjoys a lot of very big legal loopholes. And that's why it's important for us to get it right here in Illinois. You know, you talked about earlier the unique economy that we have here in the state of Illinois. That's part of the reason why getting it right is so important. We're talking about something that can have significant impacts on water resources and has been associated with the industrialization of our rural landscapes in a way that the counties that are affected are not prepared for them. We've seen what has happened in other states, and we know that these are issues that Illinois' economy downstate is particularly susceptible to, and so we need to take the lessons that come from these other states and make sure that we do it right. And there's a big consortium of environmental groups and of community groups that are working very hard in Springfield to make sure we do get it right.
Okay, we are going to move to the second part of this equation. And then at some point, actually, we're going to get to the which is kind of good news, the retrofitting of commercial buildings in Chicago. I mean, if you want to use less gas, that's the direction you go in, and you make your buildings more energy efficient. We're covering a number of topics today. It's Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council. Josh, hang on a second, and then we'll bring in a couple of
folks are being affected by this in a very serious way in LaSalle County in just a second. I also want to mention now, thank you, Kathleen, that the petition to the, let's see, I've got it here. Whoop, I got to refresh, I guess. Let's refresh here. Because it's on the homepage right now at MikeNovak.net. Kathleen put the petition from the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, so it's easy to find. You don't actually have to wade through all the text that I have on this week's show. Just go to the homepage. It says petition to save Starved Rock. Right under it, act now. There's a link. It'll take you to the site. So it's real easy. Just go to MikeNovak.net. Right there on the homepage, www.mikenowak. You've got to do it today. You need to sign the petition by the end of today. Drop what you're doing. Go online. Get it done.
And share it. Get everybody you know to do it.
Right.
Share.
Send the link.
It's the best thing about social media.
Yeah.
It spreads like wildfire.
Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Send emails. Even to one person. Oh, who have we got there? Did we get our...
We got our guests.
Oh, our guests. Okay, yeah. Good. Are they on the same phone?
They are on the same phone.
How did they do that? Wow, that's exciting.
Dueling phones.
All right. We'll get to them in just a second. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees about next spring. I mentioned this when I was talking to Rick DeMaio. Yes, we haven't even hit Thanksgiving yet, but it's been a rough couple of years for trees in some areas, and next spring might bring some surprises, nasty surprises. Many trees have been through droughts and floods and excessive heat in the past several years. Those conditions often affect trees a couple of years down the road. So if your tree lost its leaves early this year, or you saw some dieback and you're kind of wandering, keep an eye on your tree as it leafs out in the spring. And now, while the temperatures are still mild and the ground is relatively warm, take some time to thoroughly water your trees, especially if they've been in the ground less than a couple of years. And I got a tweet. Is it too late to water? No, not at all. Absolutely not. The ground is warm. Your trees will accept the water. Your evergreens will thank you for it. As long as we're dry, as long as the ground isn't frozen, get out there and water. And by water, I mean get a drip hose. Put a drip hose down there. Don't just sprinkle it.
Deep and slow.
Deep and slow. There you go. If you're changing your landscaping or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees, or call them in the spring and say, hey, what's this tree up to? It doesn't look happy. And they'll help you out. They'll give you some great advice. See thecareoftrees.com. Find them on Facebook or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You can depend on Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Debster Street in Des Plaines. Beautiful Des Plaines for everything that grows and everything that goes with the holiday season. It's the holiday season. We're not playing the music yet. Maybe next week. I think I start the goofy holiday music next week. Would you like to create your own winter containers? Well, you should stop by Lurvy's in November and December, right now, this week, to create beautiful winter containers for yourself or as a gift. $39. That's all it is. It pays for everything. You go there. You put it together. They help you with it. They help you pick out the great boughs and decorations and berries. You create it there. Lurvy's cleans up the mess. Couldn't be better. Upcoming dates are this Tuesday, November 20th at 1 p.m., Saturday, November 24th, the day after Black Friday. Celebrate. Don't do the Black Friday thing. Go to the Lurvy Saturday at 10 a.m. next Saturday. And there are more to follow during the month. And have you joined the Lurvy Garden Club yet? When you sign up for the Lurvy Garden Club, you benefit from exclusive sales and promotions, members-only e-news and seasonal solutions newsletter, and more. Use it when you pick up your fabulous trees, wreaths, and holiday plants at 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway. Go to Lurvy's.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center wishing you and yours a very green Christmas. I always like it when I hit the auto start, and it auto starts in 3, 2, 1, and then we go. The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. The conversation this hour is fracking, and it's about time that I got to it, because it's a very important issue in Illinois, and we have a chance to do it right. That's why I have Josh Mogerman on the phone with me. But let's talk about what's happening around Starved Rock. As I said, there is a petition that you can find on my homepage, MikeNovak.net. Just click on that link, and it will take you to the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club. And here's what they write there. It says the IEPA, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, is proposing to use a general NPDES, and that stands for, Josh?
Oh, I don't know. It's water pollution.
Okay, good, because I don't know either. That's the one little thing I would say. When you put NPDES there, put what it stands for, because I don't remember either. I've got it someplace written down.
Yeah, the lawyers pay me to come out and talk about stuff in English, not in legalese. So,
okay, good. And that will allow Mississippi Sand LLC to discharge wastewater from their proposed frack sand mine into Horseshoe Creek. Discharges from the proposed mine site on the eastern edge of Starved Rock State Park would enter the creek, which flows into the park before emptying into the Illinois River near Lone Point. Now, there are two types of permits, general and individual. General permits contain a standard set of requirements. In contrast, individual permits are unique, with limitations and requirements based on the operations, discharge type, and environmental conditions. Among other factors, individual permits allow citizen input via a public hearing. And that's why we want an individual permit, so that the folks in Illinois and elsewhere can have their say. That's all we're doing. We're trying to get a say in this, because there hasn't been a lot of, speaking of transparency, we were talking transparency earlier, Josh, not a lot of transparency involving this issue. The county board sort of ramrodded it through in the holidays last year. There hasn't been a lot of public input to this. The Illinois Sierra Club, to their credit, had a rally the other week about this, trying to get the word out. This is one way to at least get the public heard on this issue. So go to my website, MikeNovak.net, find the link, click on it, sign the petition. We need as many, and send it to friends, post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter. And it has to be done by the end of the day. So that's the urgency of that. Now, let's go to the phone lines and bring in Phil and Diane Gassman. Phil and Diane, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Good morning, and thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Your story is related to the Starved Rock story, which is to say you live on the north side of the river. Starved Rock is on the south side of the Illinois River. Are you technically in Utica?
We are technically in Utica. We're just outside of Utica in a Utica township.
Okay. And not only are sand mines being proposed for Starved Rock, but they are being proposed other parts of the county, including Utica. In fact, some of them are already being dug, aren't they, Phil?
Yeah, they started while the Starved Rock sand mine was going on right under our noses. Utica annexed some farmland in right across the street from our home. And they are actually digging right now, getting ready to have a sand mine. They do not have their permits, but they are digging the berms and the roads that they need.
Yeah. Now, if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, I have photos of these berms next to these homes. There's one on my homepage. There's one on this week's show. And you can see what the homeowners are dealing with. It sort of destroys the character of your property, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And we have there's kind of a lot of layers to this. We had some hearings in Utica that we attended, but we felt that the city of Utica did this without really taking into consideration the people that live out here or consideration for water pollution or anything. It was kind of a done deal before the hearings even started. The land was bought. They're giving the city $400,000 and a snowplow, and that's about all they're getting. And there's $10 billion worth of sand in these acres of land that the sand company has bought.
So the city of Utica, wow, you know, it's hard to know where to start here, Phil.
It is.
I know.
There's so many layers to this.
Among the layers is the one where this started happening before there was any notice sent to the landowners. Is that correct?
Well, that's technically correct. They did say they met the legal by putting up little tiny signs out on East 11th, which hardly anybody drives on. They say that they met the legal requirements by putting these signs up saying that they were going to use the land, that there was a notice.
All right, so basically they didn't tell you. Okay,
no,
that
no.
Okay.
And the sand company never came to us, wrote us a letter, said, hey, we're coming in, we want to be good neighbors, or anything like that, no.
No, they just put up their little signs, the bare minimum to get by legally. And then how did it work in the Utica, the city approving this? Because there are different jurisdictions that you were dealing there with, right? And
Yeah, what happened was at the hearings, there was Utica had their planning commission. They had four people on their planning commission. And after the hearings were over, we hired an attorney to attend the hearings to bring up all our concerns. And the sand company's plan was really had a lot of faults to it, and it was not done very well. I think they thought they were going to come in and just be able to have one hearing and just kind of push it through quickly, because the other layer to this is there's another sand company that's right behind us called Uniman that had just annexed some land in without any kind of opposition, and I think they thought they were going to be able to do the same thing. But when we got wind of this, we went to these meetings and expressed all our concerns about property value, the pollution, all those types of things.
So you went to the hearing. There was a planning commission, the city of Utica, and you told me that they unanimously agreed not to annex this land so that the mine could not be dug, correct?
Yes, the planning commission said that they thought there was enough concerns brought up that they should not annex this all prime farmland into the sand, you know, to be a sand mine. The city council, there's seven of them on it, they voted 6-1 to go ahead and annex it anyway.
So
we were very disappointed with that.
So they ran contrary to the advice of their own planning commission.
Absolutely, yep.
And you guys didn't know about it, and it affects 40 landowners, I understand.
It's approximately 40, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what is your recourse? I understand that you have a court date in a couple of days.
Yes, we have a court date on Wednesday, and it goes in front of a judge, and it's called a de novo hearing. And I think my wife knows a little bit more about that. If you want to talk about that, Diane, of what the de novo hearing entails.
Okay. Actually, this is our third court date, and a de novo hearing is a procedure for special use determination in the state of Illinois. And it's actually a hearing that goes before a judge. There's no jury or anything involved. And it's to determine if the hearing... It's basically doing the hearing over again. So they're going to look at all the information. We can bring in new information. And then the judge decides whether or not that the hearing was fair, whether or not the Utica showed arbitrary and capriciousness in, you know, determining that they annex them. So this is where we're at with this right now.
Obviously you probably don't have any idea how this is going to go, do you?
Right now, we really don't.
We don't.
And I think we were listening to your show earlier about the frack mining that they're doing. And see, they need this sand for the fracking. And that's why they're having this big sand rush right now. And they just want to push this through as fast as they can and get this sand so they can, you know, sell it because it's big money right now and there's a big need for it.
Mm-hmm. There are actually about 10 sand mines right now that are being proposed to our county board.
10
additional to the two that are the new two new ones here that we are dealing with. There are 10 to 12 additional sand mines.
And how and what's going to be the proximity of these sand mines? How close by will they be?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, there's some north of Interstate 80, so within a couple, they're all within 5 miles of each other.
Oh, you're going to become Sand Central there, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the mentality, you know, when you talk to people. Well, there's a sand mine here already, so what difference does it make if you have two or three more?
Right. You know, the county's for sale, basically, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow. And the city, of course, but that's okay. They made out like bandits. They got $400,000 in a snowplow.
There's no money going to any of our schools, you know. This is a company that's not from Illinois. They are from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mississippi Sand is from Missouri, the one that's proposing the one outside of Starved Rock. So a lot of this money is just going to be siphoned right out of the state.
Right.
The farmland's going to be ruined. You're going to have pits in the ground that will be there forever. Can't be used for much of anything.
And this is prime farmland, and actually the LaSalle County Board has stated that they would have not approved this because this is prime farmland. It's rated, and I'm not sure the exact rating, but this was farmland that would not have been considered for a sand mine. So we feel that this is why it went through the small little community that it did, because they were offered, you know, $400,000 in a snowplow up front before these hearings ever even started. So we felt that was somewhat of a bribe.
You know, next time they'll be offered 40 acres and a mule.
Yeah. Could be.
One of the arguments that was used when I first started talking about the Starved Rock sand mine was that the farmland is marginal.
That's at a different area.
Yeah, okay.
It's above the river on a bluff. We are across the river up above, so we're more on a bluff. So our farmland that's across from us has a higher rating, and I'm not sure of that, but I just know that it had a higher rating and was not considered appropriate for a sand mine in terms of what the county board determined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and once the sand mine comes in, that land cannot be brought back to agriculture again.
Well, it can if the de novo hearing sends it back.
Yeah, but I'm talking once they start.
Once they start using, well, they, yes, because it's been completely displaced, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That is Phil and Diane Gassman. Ironically, your last name, you know. Sorry to say that, but you know that's
you know, and ironically too, my grandfather had left us some land in Oklahoma back in the 40s, My father sold it and kept the mineral rights. Well, just recently we're getting all these letters wanting to buy the mineral rights from us because I think they want to use it for fracking.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah. we're kind of getting it on both sides.
It's everywhere.
22 homes up for sale in this area. I mean, I think we're making a pretty clear statement that either we want out or we want them out.
Yeah, but at this point, isn't it too late to put those for sale signs up? Who's going to buy a home that's next to a frack sand mine?
Exactly.
So you got. I'm sorry. You guys, sounds like you guys got screwed.
Yeah. We have no property value guarantees. We have no well agreement with them. So basically, that's what we're saying.
And they annexed all the land around us, but not us.
So yeah, that's the other thing. That's the weird. Now, how much acreage do you have?
Well, we just have 3 acres, and then we have some neighbors that all have about 2 or 3 acres here. And there's some homes that just, maybe have a half acre.
I mean, it's a subdivision.
Yeah, it's kind of a small subdivision.
Yeah.
But behind us, we have a reclaimed mining area as well. And the Uniman Sand Company owns the land behind us as well.
That's about 300 acres.
Yes.
And then about 600 acres in front of us. This was all annexed around us. Mm-hmm. And then these homes in the middle, which butt up against. We are directly adjacent to the sand mine. We are within feet of the sand mine. We're not annexed.
Why would they leave you out? I mean, if it's only 3 acres, why not just grab that up too?
Well, I don't think they wanted to. They would have probably had to pay for water and sewer out here. And that's one of our concerns, is that we're going to lose our well. We have well water with the sand mine coming in and the amount of water they use. Are we going to lose our wells?
The blasting.
So, and the blasting and everything else.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
it's a nightmare. It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and it started already because they're starting to dig right now. They were coming in here at 6 o'clock in the morning and working till 8 o'clock at night,
7 days a week,
without even considering or even asking us or telling us or anything.
Closing roads without notification.
Yeah,
and this is just the beginning, because this will happen all the time. There's going to be trucks and trucks and trucks and sand.
Actually, they estimated 35 trucks an hour leaving the facility, and that's not the return. So we are estimating around 70 trucks an hour coming and going from this site.
And this was done, the city of Utica decides to do this and doesn't tell you, and wow.
Yeah, well, we actually went to a Utica meeting Wednesday night and filed some complaints against the nuisance ordinance that they have. And since we did that, it has gotten better, so there is.
They were violating their own nuisance ordinance.
But that'll come back.
Yeah,
they'll do it for a while. They'll be good for a while, and then, once they're up and running. Who knows? I'm just so sorry to hear this, and I hope that your court appointment goes well this week. We're going to continue to follow this story, Phil and Diane. I hope you will stay in touch.
Absolutely. You just let us know, and we'll glad to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you.
If there's anything you can do to, increase awareness down here, newspaper articles, anything, we would truly appreciate it, because we are just like anyone else in this state. We're your neighbors, and it could happen to anyone. I mean, we were fighting for Mississippi sand, and it happened right under our nose. So,
yeah, and that's why we're fighting to stop one of them. And it's a shame that it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but it might. I mean, maybe the judge will listen to reason.
Yeah, we're hoping so.
Yeah.
And okay. We'd really do appreciate the people up in the Chicago area that have come down here and supported the cause down here, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on today.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk again, Phil and Diane. Thank you so much. You have a great Sunday.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Josh?
Yeah, it's some really difficult issues. On the surface, a lot of the complaints that you hear around these mines sound superficial. It's noise, it's dust, it's truck traffic. But when you get a sense of the scale, when you get a sense of, this isn't just clanging of bulldozers. This is blasting going on at all hours of the day. This is coats, this isn't just a little bit of dust. This is, lots and lots of sand covering many, many square miles. And like they said, the truck traffic, we're not talking about little trucks. We're not talking about pickup trucks. We're talking about giant industrial
carrier trucks that are going, you know, more than one a minute in some cases. Like they were talking about 70 trucks per hour. Think about what that does. You know, you, I believe, on your website have posted an article from the Minneapolis Star Tribune talking about the experience in McGregor, Iowa, which is a similar sort of a place. This is a tourism and agricultural economy. And those folks, their main street is a U.S. highway, and so they have no control over it. And the shop owners talk about the crippling truck traffic that has cracked foundations and has made it impossible for them to keep people coming back to hotels, shops, all the things that are sort of core to a tourism-based economy. So these are not little things. This is about the industrialization of our rural areas, and we have to have a very real question about whether that, or a real discussion about whether that's something that makes sense for this country, and talk about siting, like all energy projects. Nobody's saying you can't do these things. The question is, can you do them everywhere? And I think the Gassmans give a good example of a place where if it's going to be done, it needs to be done in more fair fashion.
Yeah,
to the Sierra Club for leading the fight on this as it relates to Starved Rock. They've really done a really wonderful job of making people aware of the issue and talking about it in a way that people can both understand and take action and really care.
Yeah, props to the Sierra Club. Also, the thing that just as frustrates me is these governing bodies that think they can get away with business as usual and just crush the little guy under their thumb and do these things basically in the dead of night without public hearings. And it's disgusting. Is what it is, and I'm glad people are standing up to them. All right, listen, we're running out of time here. Let me take care of some business. I got a couple of calls on the line I don't think I'm going to be able to get to. Let's see what happens, okay? because I want to talk about the good news with Josh when we get back. There's nothing like the holiday season at holiday locations like The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Check out their great selections, 8 types of garlands, 15 types of greens, glitter, bleached and natural branches, birch logs and branches, 12 types of preserved eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, unique and fun accents, wreaths, swags, and containers are created by their design team, and they're ready to meet your decorating needs. If you don't see what you need, guess what? You can place an order or come to a workshop and make your own. The greens and fresh Fraser fir trees in sizes from 2 feet to 10 feet have arrived, or pick up the scented soy candle. It's exclusive to The Growing Place and a customer favorite. And instead of Black Friday, I mentioned this before, why not experience Green Friday or Saturday? That's because both days they're having their open house, Friday and Saturday, November 23rd and 24th. Special sales and treats, and of course their wonderful setting. And The Growing Place is really a great place to go. It will put you in the holiday spirit. The Growing Place in Naperville on Plank Road, just west of Napier Boulevard and south of I-88 Naperville exit. And in Aurora on Montgomery Road, just north of Copley Hospital. Explore each beautiful room in Aurora's gift shop. You're going to like it. It's an 1850s farmhouse, and you're going to have a great time there.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events.
And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Hey, you want fresh Fraser fir trees this Christmas? Get over to Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian Village. They've hooked up with the same grower that supplies trees to the White House. You won't get a fresher tree unless you cut it yourself. Now, they told me to say this, so I'm saying it. Mention the Mike Novak Show and get free delivery and free pickup of your tree after the season. Yes, give them a bell. Yes, they will recycle the trees. Not only that, but Christy Weber has ready-to-go drop-in holiday containers. You take them home, you plop them into your urn or your own container. Bingo, bango, bongo, you're done. And while the weather is still warm, grab some brilliant contractor-grade LED bulb strands, light spheres, and twig lights in all different sizes and colors. They even have LEDs that glow. They don't grow. They glow like incandescents. And this Saturday, November 24th, it's Winterfest in the city with family events from noon to 3 p.m., including a sleigh tractor ride with Santa, snowball fights, arts and crafts, and more, followed by a holiday happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. with food and wine from Westtown Tavern. Join the fun next Saturday and every day at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of Christmas color. See, this is the theme they play at Walmart on Black Friday. The devil is there and the devil inside. If you walk into Walmart, the devil is inside. Actually, the devil's outside taking your soul. But we've already discussed that. Let's go back to the phone line. And Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, before we let you go, we have to get to some of the good news here, which is that in the city of Chicago, and I know Lisa's excited about this, people are starting to retrofit buildings, commercial buildings, and save energy that way. Tell me a little bit about that, Josh.
Sure. Earlier in the year, the city announced the Chicago Commercial Building Initiative, which brought on 14 buildings, many of which you would recognize by sight, that account for about 14 million square feet of commercial office space. And they've all agreed to work with the city, work with NRDC, to reduce their energy consumption by about 20%. And when you think about climate change and the carbon pollution that's created, our building sector is about 40% of that. So this is the city of Chicago exerting leadership that's really, really valuable, that has important impacts, not just here in terms of the energy that we're using here, but a lot of these are big corporate clients that are going to take the learning that they get through this initiative and apply it to buildings all over the country. So, you know, as we were talking about opportunities for leadership in Springfield from the state of Illinois, Chicago's already doing that in a really important area.
And that's the best way to save energy right now. And that's one of the initiatives in the city that I really like. There's some I'm not crazy about, but that one is, I think, really is going to make a difference. And so a number of these buildings are retrofitting. I think that's a great project. And 20% is huge, and they're doing it with lighting policies, they are doing it with just being smarter, you know, in the way they do this.
Yeah, a lot of these are just a function of, you know, you have a lot of different tenants in a big building like that, and working more closely with the tenants and monitoring their use so that you don't have lights on 24/7.
Yeah.
So that you have more efficient lights on. And then also things like servers. You know, most of these buildings have lots of tenants who all have big giant server arrays for cloud computing for their email and all of their documents and all of those sort of things. And this is an area where a little bit of effort towards efficiency goes a long way. And, you know, this is another area area where, you know, working with big companies like AT&T that are focused on this, if we get a couple of significant changes underway, for example, in their corporate headquarters here in Chicago, these guys have 180,000 properties around the country. And if we get those learnings in place in some of those other properties, we're talking about a very significant impact. And, you know, this is something that everyone can get behind. This is not a partisan issue. I think
this is where you start. You know,
before being smarter with our energy is something we can all get behind. It's important.
Exactly. And there's a great article Rebecca Stanfield wrote. I've linked to that. Josh, you've been great today. I'm sorry that I left your son and recover his soul.
Thanks a lot. Always have a fun time talking with you guys.
All right. Take care, Josh.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you can go to nrdc.org for more information. Don't forget to go to my website. Click on the petition from the Illinois Sierra Club. Wow. Whew. That was a lot to get done in one day. And
good show.
Let's try to stop that fracking in the sand mines in LaSalle County. It's just it's heartbreaking when you listen to people like Diane and Phil, and stop the fracking and stop the sand mine outside of Starved Rock. Go green or
go home.